Well, it's good to be with you today, and we've been looking forward to this time together.
I have been, too. I've been following your program for some time now, and I'm always impressed with the very clear and biblical positions you take on the issues, both in the church and on beliefs and activities that are outside the orthodox practice of the Christian faith. And I want to talk about those in a minute, but first, every chance I get, I'd like to introduce our audience to one of our Bible teachers they've not met before. So tell me a little bit about Dr. Mark Allison.
Well, I'm actually from Michigan, and it was in Michigan at high school after a baseball practice that I came to know Christ as my Savior. And then the Lord called me to preach, and in calling me to preach, He took me down to Greenville, South Carolina, where I worked on a doctorate, and at that time joined the Free Presbyterian Church as it was just getting off the ground in North America. And I was in a church there in Greenville, South Carolina. We had a seminary there, and I labored both in the church and in the seminary, teaching and training men for the ministry. And then as our churches began to grow across the United States, I would go and preach for them. The church in Malvern was pastored by Reverend John Greer, and when he got a call to go back to his home church in Northern Ireland, I then was called to become the pastor here in Malvern, and that was 10 years ago, September 2000. So that's briefly my history. It's a joy to be in this part of the Lord's vineyard. Certainly the shepherd has been very good to me in the way he's guided me over these last 40 years since I came to know him.
Well, indeed, and part of your impressive resume is that you've been to both Michigan and South Carolina and have not a hint of an accent from either place.
There you go.
It's pretty amazing. Well, you mentioned Free Presbyterian, and I thought, maybe a lot of people don't know what that means. What is a Free Presbyterian?
Well, we're Presbyterian in that we believe in elder rule. The word presbyteros in the Greek is the word for elder, and we believe that elders rule the church. We also believe that the elders rule the whole denomination. There's not a hierarchy above them. And so people will elect men to rule in their church. They will be teaching elders and then ruling elders. I would be a teaching elder, what we would call a minister. As far as the Free Presbyterian Church, we took that title to let people know that we were not entangled with the World Council of Churches or National Council of Churches. Those organizations, when they started, embrace some that were believers and some that truly were unbelievers, and we did not want to be associated in this 20th or 21st century with that organization. We wanted to be able to give a clear sound as to what the gospel is. And so we are a Bible-believing Presbyterian church. We have elder rule, and we are not entangled with the World Council or National Council of Churches.
Well, that church structure is very scriptural, so I certainly agree with that. What are you talking about currently from the pulpit for those who might want to stop by and to visit your church some Sunday?
Well, on the Sabbath school in the morning, we have a study that we're doing on Mormonism, trying to show what they teach and what the Bible says. In the morning worship service, we've been going through some of Hebrews, showing the difficulties that that church, that body of believers, those Jews were having in the early church, and how that some of those same difficulties affect us. And then in the evening, we've been working our way now through the book of Ephesians for about a year. We're now starting the passage that deals with the home life of the believer, and we're in Ephesians chapter 5 dealing with the wife and husband relationship, and then we'll be going from that into the child relationship. And just trying to stress that all of these relationships are really governed by a greater relationship, and that is the relationship that we have with Christ.
You did mention one of the topics I wanted to bring up, because I saw it there in your audio archives, which we have linked folks to from the WFIO program guide and from our Mark Daniel Show page as well. You spoke about Mormonism, and certainly the Latter-day Saints have recently upped their advertising in order to attempt to mainstream their church in American thought with Christianity. Why is that not possible, really? And how should Christians respond to Mormons and Mormonism?
Well, I think we respond to Mormons the same way we respond to anyone who needs Christ. We try to love them and bring them to the gospel. But their doctrine is a corruption of the gospel. Joseph Smith put in the system of doctrine that you have to be baptized to be saved, as well as other works that are part of their thinking. The beginning of Mormonism was outside the church. Joseph Smith left the church. And it was full of great sin in the early days. Polygamy was rampant. Joseph Smith had 44 wives in a period of 8 years. Of the first 10 wives, 7 were married at the time that he took them. And that kind of sin certainly would not be orthodox in any way, shape, or form. He then said that God gave him new revelation, and he would account as revelation not just the 66 books that we have of the Bible, but he would take the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, and then the Book of Mormon as revelation as well. Even though those books contradict the Scripture, yet he would still say that they are Scripture. And it's those teachings in the Book of Mormon, Pearl of the Great Price, and Doctrine and Covenants that we find to be very offensive. The main body of Mormons is very evangelistic in their own thinking, but what they're bringing men to is an organization rather than to Christ. And the danger is that people will join an organization, get involved in religious duties such as baptism, which is very big among the Mormons, and think that because they've done these religious duties or follow the code of ethics, that they're going to make it in the glory. And they really need to have the right Christ and the right gospel and know the new birth from the right Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so we would evangelize a Mormon the same way we'd evangelize anyone else, realizing that to a large extent they have been deceived.
You've also addressed the recent teachings of Harold Camping, a man who has infamously in the past attempted to set dates for the return of Christ, has proclaimed the end of the church age as we know it, among other things. What's the latest claim by Mr. Camping?
Well, he is saying that Jesus Christ is coming back May the 21st, 2011, and after he comes back, there'll be a great tribulation, and then October the 21st, 2011, the world will end. At this point, he is saying that right now the Church of Christ has been given over to Satan, so that everyone who worships in a church is really meeting with Satan and not the Holy Spirit. Mm. He would say that there are no pastors in the church any longer. He would say that we are not to do the Lord's table, we are not to perform baptism, but we are to flee from the church. And in doing so, he says if we flee from the church, we will not be given over to Satan. All of that is bizarre teaching. And in reality, in the New Testament, when Paul gave someone over to Satan, he did so by excommunication, that is, putting them out of the church. You see that in 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 Timothy 1. And so, in a sense, it's Harold Camping, really, who is giving men over to Satan as he's moving them out of the church into what you would call Satan's domain. The other fearful thing is, in saying those things, people are in church meeting with the Lord if it's a faithful church. If it's a gospel-preaching church that is being faithful to the Word of God, they truly are meeting with the Lord and are having the Spirit minister to them. To say that that is Satan ministering to them is really coming very close, if it's not exactly what our Lord was dealing with when he accused the Pharisees of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit comes and convicts and points you to Christ and gives you assurance that you have come to Christ, for someone then to come and say that was Satan dealing with you is utterly bizarre. He has actually made the claim that since 1988, no one has ever been saved in the church since then. And that is bizarre. We've seen people saved in our own church here in Malvern. I've been on the mission field in Liberia 8 times in the last 4 years, and we have seen souls saved in churches there, and I'm sure we could multiply that around the world where churches are seeing people saved. And so it's not merely that he has set a date. There have been others who have set dates. It's what he is saying to the church about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in that church that is so destructive, and the claim that you have to leave the church, otherwise Satan is going to lay hold of you. I don't think the Good Shepherd is going to lose any of his sheep. Certainly won't lose his sheep if they're following him in the church, obeying his sacraments and his ordinances, and worshiping the Lord according to his word.
Well, as a man who came to faith in 1991, I guess I should hang up my headphones, because apparently I don't qualify for the position. Well, I imagine we can expect a lot of this kind of thing, you know, with the Mayan calendar drawing to a close in 2012 and the movie that came out several months ago. I never, though, thought I would find it within those who claim to be within the Church of Christianity.
Well, that's what's so bizarre. And Actually, if you go back to the days of the Puritans, they had some who set dates in those days, but they were orthodox in everything else. And those dates have come and gone. But normally, the setting of dates has been done by the cults. You see that in the Seventh-day Adventist movement. Jehovah's Witness set a date. The Adventists said 1844. The Jehovah's Witness said 1914. Now we've come to a man who says he's Reformed, comes from teaching that was orthodox, Dutch Reformed background, and yet I think they have put him out and said that his teachings are no longer orthodox when it comes to these matters. Again, that he sets a date is wrong. Our Lord says no man knows the day or the hour of his return, and he says that we're to be watching and waiting because he will come like a thief in the night. Actually, if you believe that Christ was coming May the 21st, you would not be ready for him to come 3 weeks from tonight. And so it's having not an effect of getting people excited about the Lord's return. It's actually putting them to sleep concerning whether the Lord would return immediately or soon. And because they're all looking to this date that supposedly he has fixed. Now, he did fix the date 1994. That did not come to pass. So now he has said 1994 was correct, it just wasn't Christ's return. And so he has reinterpreted the date, and much along the lines that the Seventh-day Adventist did. The Seventh-day Adventist said that Christ was coming to cleanse the temple in 1844. When he didn't come and cleanse the temple, they then changed the event and said, well, he did cleanse it, but it was in heaven. He didn't come to earth. And that was the beginning then of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, or shortly after that. Camping said he was coming in 1994. Now he's reinterpreted that date and said that it's 2011 and it'll be May the 21st. He is not putting any question mark around that. He's absolutely certain that Christ is coming May the 21st, 2011. But it's what he's saying about the church that is even more bothersome, and that the church has been given over to Satan. We're to throw off all authority in the church. We are to stop doing the sacraments, the Lord's table and baptism. Those things are very serious errors, and those errors are tearing some churches apart.
Indeed they are. And I noticed as I browsed through the archives of audio messages on your website that a good amount of teaching, including a series on the Harold Camping, is available for download for those who visit that site. Again, we have the link under our program guide page at WFIL.com and under the Mark Daniel Show links right there on my homepage, also at WFIL.com. Even better, though, we'd like for folks to come out and visit the church sometime. So give us the particulars, where you're located and when you have Sunday services.
Okay, our mailing address is 80 Malin Road. That's Malvern, Pennsylvania, 19355. But if you're trying to look us up on the map, you would find we're Business 30 and 401 come together. And if you would take 401 1 mile, we'd be up the road on the left on 401. We're not far from the intersection of Business 30 and 401. Or you could find where 401 and 202 come together. And if you were to turn left on 401 from 202, we're a mile down the road again on 401. Our Sunday services, we have our Sabbath school for all ages at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then we have our morning worship at 11. We have our evening service at 6 o'clock. And then we have a Tuesday night prayer meeting on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock.
The church is the Free Presbyterian Church of Malvern. The program is called Let the Bible Speak. You hear it Sundays at 1 p.m. here on WFIL with archived sermons, as we said, available at the fpcaudio.org website. We've linked you to the exact page on that website, both on the program guide and on that Mark Daniel Show page at WFIL.com. It is time well spent. And Pastor Mark Allison, good to finally meet you. Thanks for being on the program.
Well, this has been my joy to be with you, and we trust the listening audience will profit from our time together.